KSL at Night was recorded and produced this afternoon. KSL at Night. Some of Utah's top political specialists join a roundtable on the day's biggest stories. KSL is at 102.7 FM and on every smart speaker when you say play KSL News Radio.
Welcome to another edition of KSL at Night. I'm your host this evening, KSL legal analyst Greg Skordis. And remember, if you want to be kept up on the latest breaking news from KSL News Radio, just text the word breaking, B-R-E-A-K-I-N-G, to 57500. I did a couple weeks ago, and I get interesting news all the time. But we're going to give you some interesting news now. And when I woke up this morning, kind of a sad, I don't know how to feel about this one. O.J. Simpson passed away. O.J. Simpson was really one of our heroes, and I'm old enough to remember when he was one of the greats. I think he played football at USC for college and for the Buffalo Bills. He set all kinds of records. I remember his picture on the front of Sports Illustrated. I'll never forget it. And it said, "No way to stop OJ." He was one of those athletes that transcended the sport, not only just with his skill, but with his personality, kind of a Michael Jordan or Mickey Mantle or Tiger Woods. You know, the kind of person that gets a lot of endorsements. It gets a lot of TV. He actually was on some television shows. He was in some movies. But he had this tremendous downfall, kind of like you couldn't even imagine, when he was accused of killing his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend Ron Goldman at her home in June of 1994. Of course, I remember this because I was practicing law at the time. And that trial went on forever. It became a bit of a circus. We had all kinds of personalities come out of that trial, including prosecutor, what was her name, Marcia Clark, the judge, was it Ito? I don't remember. And some of the defense attorneys who were famous at the time. I think one of the great lines was, if the glove doesn't fit, then you must acquit. And the jury did. They acquitted OJ of a murder that I think we all assume now that he did. There was a lawsuit filed later by the estate of Nicole Brown Simpson. I'm probably wrong on all this, but luckily we have an expert joining us in just a minute. And he did suffer a significant civil judgment. I don't know whether that was ever satisfied. And then later in Las Vegas, he was involved in kind of an extortion type of thing. He was convicted of kidnapping and armed robbery, served some time in a prison or a jail in Las Vegas. But anyway, let's get to somebody that knows more about OJ than I ever will. And that's Jason Nathanson, ABC entertainment correspondent from Los Angeles. Jason, thank you for joining us this evening.
Sure. My pleasure to be here.
First of all, what do we know about OJ's death? And this kind of came out of the blue.
Out of the blue for some, but not for others. He had cancer. We knew last year that he had cancer. It was prostate cancer. We weren't sure necessarily of the severity of it. And then we were told, at least news media was kind of on standby a couple months ago in February. We were told O.J. Simpson was in hospice care and was dying. But pretty quickly after we heard about that, he put out a video on Twitter or X saying that he's not in hospice care, he's not dying, and he's fine. And to be honest, he looked like a man who was in good health, not a man that was dying from cancer. And then 2 months later, he actually did die from cancer. So we knew that he had cancer. We didn't know necessarily the severity of it for the past year or so, but apparently it was pretty serious and it went pretty quickly.
Jason, from a purely entertainment or just public relations, or I don't know what the right word is, perspective, what do you think his legacy is? I mean, what will people remember about him? The great athlete, the accused murderer, the great fall from grace? I mean, what do you think his legacy is?
Yeah, it really is so complicated, and it really depends on how old you are for the most part. If you lived in a pre-murder trial world or a post-murder trial world, because if you lived in a post-murder trial world or if you're young or just growing up in the 90s or the 80s, you didn't really understand the full scope of how popular O.J. Simpson was, like you talked about. I mean, to put it in today's terms, there isn't one person. You'd have to do like a Tom Brady and The Rock, put them both together, and that's how popular he was, because he had this great football career, sure, and he was a Hall of Famer, and when he retired, he was the highest paid player in the league, which that rarely happens, that you retire when, you know, by the time you're ready to retire, you're going downhill. He was hurt, and he had been transferred to the 49ers at that point. But but he was still the highest paid player in the league when he retired. Also, in 1975, when he got this deal for Hertz, a lot of people remember the Hertz car rental commercials.
Yeah, he'd hurdle the chairs, right, yeah.
Yes, he was running through the airport to try to get there on time, and he jumps over the chairs. He was the first black man ever hired for a major national corporate advertising campaign. That was in 1975. So he was groundbreaking at the time, and people loved him. He was charismatic. Then he went on to a career in media, and he was in the miniseries Roots, and he was in the Naked Gun movies. He was about as big as it gets, and then he was accused of double murder, which just there has been no, at least in this century. I mean, some people could compare maybe to Bill Cosby in terms of a fall from somebody who went from so beloved to so hated, but I think O.J. Simpson's reversal was even bigger and even more severe. And after that, I mean, yes, the jury acquitted him, and the jury didn't think that he did it, but there was a large percentage of Americans who did think he committed those murders. And then after that, he didn't necessarily lie low. He said he was going to go look for the killers. He was going to take his whole life and look for the real killers. That never really materialized. He was then, there was, as you mentioned, that civil judgment against him from the families of Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson, which they were awarded $33.5 million, which they barely saw a penny of. And then in 2006, this book kind of comes out where he said, "If I did it," that was the title of the book.
That's right.
Hypothetical confession of, if I did it, here's how I would have done the murders. And there was going to be an interview with him that never saw the light of day. And that book was then awarded to the family of Ron Goldman so they could try to get some of that money back from the judgment, which they still never really got any money back. And then, as you mentioned, the prison sentence for the armed robbery in Las Vegas. It was really a spectacular rise and a spectacular fall, the likes of which we'll probably never see again.
And Jason, even though he was acquitted, it seems that most of America, myself included, and I guess I was a little biased when I led this off, still felt that he had some culpability there. And that was something that he really never seemed to overcome.
He was never able to shake that. And you, a lot of times in a court of law, if you're acquitted of something, I mean, look, a lot of people have had comebacks from, you know, serious downfalls. Look at Mel Gibson. Look at Roman Polanski, Woody Allen.
Right.
You know, a lot of people, especially in the entertainment business, have been able to come back. But O.J. Simpson was never able to, because one of the things is, we saw that trial play out in real time. We saw every piece of evidence, and people watched it. You know, whether you were watching it every day, which, you know, a lot of people had jobs and they couldn't do, but then they saw all the recaps on the news and court TV and everything. They saw every piece of evidence, and there was a lot of it. There was a lot of DNA evidence, and his prosecution team, or his defense team, did a fantastic job in putting credible doubt into the minds of the jury when it came to the DNA and when it came to painting the detectives like Mark Furman as being racist.
Oh, yeah.
They did the job that they needed to do to win, but still a lot of people, you know, even if they didn't think he did it, with a wink, wink and a nudge, they were pretty sure that he did.
I think it was one of those situations, Jason, we're out of time, but where people got to understand the concept of not guilty, not necessarily meaning innocent, and in that the jury just didn't have enough evidence to convict. But I don't think any of those jurors walked out of there thinking O.J. was a straight shooter. You know what I mean? Like that he was a great guy. They just didn't think the state had it.
The whole concept of reasonable doubt, and the state did not put on the case that if you go back and watch, there's a great miniseries on FX about the whole case. There's also a great documentary series on ESPN about the life of O.J. Simpson and everything that happened. Those are two. If you really want to learn more about the context of everything, those are two great things to watch tonight.
Jason Nathanson, ABC, thanks for joining us.
Sure thing. Take care.
When we come back after the break, let's talk about Ukraine. We haven't talked about Ukraine in a while. We're going to have an expert talk to us about where we are, what's happening, and what we can look forward to. Stay with us.